Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. I acknowledge that I'm undeserving to come up here and to preach the word. Father, how grateful it is, how joyful it is to gather together as a body of Christ, to sing songs to you, to hear your word being read, and now to hear your word being preached. Father, thank you for allowing us to come together. Thank you for allowing us to worship you as your children. Thank you for salvation. And Lord, right now we selfishly pray for sanctification. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would, remain standing with me for the reading of God's word. And turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, if you're using a Pew Bible, you will find this on page 1011. Page 1011. Wisdom and faith. Wisdom and faith. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave in the sea. He has been driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So James humbly opened his epistle by calling himself a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would all benefit by beginning each day in the exact same way. Waking up, giving thanks, that we have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, the need for renewal every single morning. Even declaring, Lord, I am yours. You have purchased me. Grant me the strength to faithfully serve you. I am your servant and I am reporting for duty. That what we once were, slaves to sin, enemies of God, we are no longer by his grace. That we have been set free by his grace. And now as his children, called to be slaves of obedience, called to faithfully serve him as a pilgrim in this life as we march home. These Jewish Christians who were scattered due to persecution, they were meeting trials of many kinds, and James informs them to remain joyful because their faith was being tested. He tells them to let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James did not want them to rebel against the Lord because trials had come. He wanted them to have a Christian understanding that their Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who justified them, he is sanctifying them. That they are not perfect, they are not yet home, they are not yet glorified, and their present trials are a means of sanctification. Beginning in verse 5 today, we find James the Apostle, also known as Mr. Camel Knees, calling Christians not to a strategic leadership session so that their own strength can overcome their personal trials that they are in. He calls them to prayer. He calls them to their knees. He calls them to seek the Lord and to trust the Lord and his promises. That in the testing of their faith, they needed wisdom, and wisdom is found in God, and they must ask God for wisdom. And in their asking, it must be done so in faith with no doubting. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea. He has been driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. He is unstable in all his ways. Christians need wisdom. In fact, we need wisdom all the time. In everyday living, wisdom is needed. When we are treated unjustly, wisdom is needed. When various times of trials enter our life, wisdom is needed. When wrong is done to us, because we are living as servants of the Lord, we must remain steadfast and rely upon the Lord. Praying for wisdom is required if we are going to be steadfast. See, the key to counting our suffering and trials as joy is thinking biblically. James was calling for spiritual integrity, right thinking, right living, a blameless life. These Jewish Christians, they were facing trials of many kinds. As we discussed last week, poverty was a trial. Their employment was a trial. Being a Christian itself was a trial for them. And James was calling them to remain steadfast, to persevere. The characteristic of a man or woman who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. It is no accident that James speaks about endurance and he immediately talks about prayer afterwards. Prayer is required for endurance. We need wisdom. We need to know how to please God as we live in this present world full of winds and waves of various trials. And those who desire to live a godly life know that they are in need of wisdom. Indeed, you do. And they will seek wisdom. Therefore, as saints of the Lord, we are to ask God for wisdom. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and will be given to him. Wisdom is lacking among many Christians. In the testing of our faith, spiritual perfection, it is the goal. And although we will not attain it in this life, wisdom must be present for steadfastness to occur. So let me first define biblical wisdom. What does wisdom mean? It's the means by which servants of the Lord discern and carry out the will of God. The means by which servants of the Lord discern and carry out the will of God, knowledge that allows a man or woman to glorify the Lord. This is not talking about philosophy or human intellect. I'm talking about the ability of a man or woman to judge correctly and follow the best course of action in life based on understanding and knowledge that is from the Lord. It's based on understanding and knowledge from the Lord. As a slave of God, we are called to not just listen to our master, but to live according to his words. Indeed, that's what it means to be a slave. Wisdom is not living based on feelings or comforts, because if we're honest, many of us live life in our seasons based on our feelings and on our comforts. But wisdom is found in God. Wisdom is living according to his words, listening to our master and doing as our master has said with all humility. Let's take the HEB area for example. Many people would call this the Bible Belt. I would call this a sea of lostness. It is projected that 80% of the HEB area is lost. And inside of this 80%, I would call a big group of that deceived. Many believe themselves to be saved, but they were following a lie. But the 20% who might be saved, I am sure that wisdom is lacking among many. Wisdom is correct thinking and correct living found in God by asking God for it. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Fear of the Lord, the reverent awe and worship of the Lord, this is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So the Lord gives it. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Proverbs 8:35. For whoever finds me, wisdom, whoever finds me, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. So Scripture informs us that the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, that the Lord gives wisdom. Blessed is the one who has wisdom. That wisdom is greater than gold, and whoever finds wisdom finds life and favor from the Lord. So why is it that most Christians don't pray for wisdom? Why is it that we live life as if riches of this world are greater than wisdom that lasts forever? See, all the Lord's children in history have needed wisdom. All the great heroes of the faith, all the great theologians today, they need wisdom. I'm reminded of Martin Luther when Martin Luther was going against the Catholic Church and he was standing up and he is finally confronted, and they have confronted him in front of thousands of people. He says, "Do you recant?" What did Luther say? He asked for 24 hours. "Can I have 24 hours to think it through?" He was praying for wisdom. You and I need wisdom to remain steadfast, to persevere while we face trials of many kinds. And our various kinds of trials that we have in our life, emotional trials, physical trials, spiritual trials, moral trials, financial trials, we need wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. This is an imperative. It is a command. Ask God for wisdom. We are commanded to do this. We are commanded to go before the Lord and ask him for wisdom. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that James, half-brother of Jesus, was greatly impacted by the Sermon on the Mount. I believe we see that again here. In Matthew chapter 7, if you'll turn with me there, Matthew chapter 7, let's look at this teaching from Jesus. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" The context of these verses is not talking about salvation. It is talking about one who is already saved. Talking about us as his children asking the Father. See, God loves to give gifts to his children when they ask, and they ask according to his will. John Calvin said, "Since we see that the Lord does not require from us what is above our strength, but he is ready to help us provided we ask, let us therefore learn, whenever he commands anything, to ask of him the power to perform it." Why did James say, "If any of you lacks wisdom"? Some were in situations who didn't lack wisdom. They knew what they were to do to glorify the Lord. They just lacked the boldness to do what needed to be done. However, as Calvin went on to say, he said, "He who has made the greatest progress is yet far from the goal." So no matter who we are this morning, no matter how spiritually mature you are, no matter how prideful you may actually be right now, thinking you have it all figured out, you and I are still in need of wisdom. Wisdom is needed by all, and when in difficult situations, we all need to ask God for it. We may think we have the answer or that we have arrived in a particular area, but we must not be wise in our own eyes. Many who were hearing this epistle being read, they were in trials in which they did not know what to do. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, we have the words of Solomon. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So when he said, my son, do not forget my teaching, you're talking about Solomon. You're talking about one of the wisest men who ever lived on the earth. Why was he saying this? Because we're forgetful people. So we are commanded to ask God for wisdom. Indeed, God expects us to ask for it. When's the last time you asked for it? God is ready for you to ask for wisdom, and he is ready to give it without hesitation. God gives generously to all. He wants his children to ask, and he wants to provide them with guidance in living. But asking is required. Our God does not withhold what we need in this life in order to live for him. Praise God. He's not asking us for something that you and I cannot obtain without him. He's saying, ask for it. God also gives reproach, without reproach, when we ask. God gives without reproach when we ask, meaning God wants us to come without to him without any hesitation at all. He doesn't find fault in us needing wisdom. He's ready to give it. Our Heavenly Father is not going to respond to our asking with insult. If we are truly wanting to glorify him and we ask him, he will give it. But let me say this, asking without seeking doesn't work. See, usually one side of the coin is always talked about. Oh, you just need to ask God and you're going to automatically give it. Yeah, are you seeking the Lord or are you just asking the Lord? Both are required. Asking without seeking does not work. We have access to the Word of God. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. The sad truth is that most Christians on a daily basis, even most Christians who attend church on a Sunday morning for worship, and even those who faithfully come on Wednesday nights just to gather together with the body, so often we treat God like a spiritual Santa Claus. We come before him with request after request after request. Ultimately, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I don't have any word from you, so please give me this. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. See, we are to treasure his words and live according to his commands. As a starving child seeks for food, we are to seek our Father and his words. I opened up this morning by saying how blessed we are to gather together and to worship the Lord, how blessed we are to sit under the reading of God's word and the preaching of God's word. Truly, we are blessed. It is a joy. And right now, you and I are not living in any fear, are we? Like our brother and sister in Christ, David and Amy, they have a little bit of fear in their life right now as they gather together to worship the Lord because they're in China. They have fear. There are many brothers and sisters in Christ right now who are gathering together who are in fear. how hungry we must be for God's word. We must seek the Lord. We're to treasure his words and live according to his commands. We're to not just ask for wisdom and not listen to the wisdom in which he has already provided. Indeed, we talked about James saying, living a life that glorifies the Lord cannot be absent from the law of God itself. Indeed, we have commands from our God. We're not just asked for wisdom, we are to know wisdom, which is already provided for us in the Word. So let me make this principle of asking very personal for each of us. If we go home today and we pray for wisdom concerning a situation, and when you're done asking for wisdom, that's the end of your relationship with God for the day, just expect nothing. Like if you think you can just go home and you can just pray, and then you can live your life absent of the Word of God, absent from thinking about God, absent from wanting to please God, and you just want to get something from God, you are not understanding what it means to be a child of God. You have derailed. You have started to think God as what can God do for me versus how can I live for him? How can I glorify him? The Lord is to be our treasure. He is to be what we are seeking. We are to seek to glorify him, not seek to get gifts from him. James was not writing to a group of men and women living a comfortable life. They were scattered due to persecution. They needed wisdom in specific circumstances and situations. And James said, ask God. So you're commanded to ask God for wisdom. God is ready for us to ask, and he is ready to give it without hesitation. But when we ask for wisdom, we must do so in faith with no doubting. Verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So we are commanded to ask God for wisdom, and our asking is to have faith with no doubting. Faith is indeed the subject here. God's children must not approach him with a faithless mind that results in faithless words. Many of us, I have been guilty of this, coming before the Lord, praying for something, not expecting anything at all. Just feeling like I know I need to be talking to the Lord, I know I need to be praying, I know I need to be asking for him, but I know this will not be granted. We must approach him with faith. We are to believe in God as we are asking him for wisdom for the purpose of glorifying him. Because you need to understand this, wisdom is not to promote self. It's not to make you look good. It's not to make me look good. What is wisdom for? For the glory of God. It's not to better yourself, to better your life. It's not so that you and I can live our best life now. It's not so that we can be free from trials, to be free from temptations. It's so that we can glorify God among those trials, among those temptations, so that we can please him. James will not leave this. He's going to continue to talk about this throughout his epistle because he talks about the examples that we have in the apostles. The examples that we have in the prophets from the Old Testament. He's going to bring up Job. We're reminded in Hebrews 11:6, when we go to the Lord, without faith it is impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. See, we cannot please God without faith, and we cannot draw near to God without faith. We are to not pray with doubt. That is to have division in our mind, to be wavering, to have hesitation. These must not exist. We are to believe in the God who saved us, who he is, his promises, and especially believe when we're praying to him as we are living in trials. See, having confidence and unwavering trust in God, that is to be our attitude in life and in prayer. In life and in prayer. Having confidence and unwavering trust in God. See, the teaching of Jesus helps us again here. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, we find this. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. that's Jesus, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it. He found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? I love that. Can you imagine being the disciples and seeing and hearing and everything they had experienced with Jesus? How in the world did that fig tree just wither? Jesus answered, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. See, doubting is not to be part of our prayers. It must be absent. Faith must rule in our prayers. False teachers love this passage. They love to say that you do not have because your faith is not strong enough. You need a stronger faith and he will give you your heart's desires. The whatever you ask in this is to align with God's will. Because that's what it means to be a child of God. You're asking for the Lord's will. Indeed, that's what you have as an example of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. Let this cup pass from me if it's your will. If not, let me drink it completely. And asking for wisdom as privileged people who have God's word, we must study how Jesus prayed. We must look at the prayers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to do the Father's will. We must be here to do the Father's will. How Jesus spent time praying is how we should spend time praying. We should also study the prayers that are found in Scripture. The Psalms, Ezra, David, Paul. We also have prayers of faithful men and women throughout history that are worth praying today. So what happens when we approach God in prayer for wisdom while we are living in trials and yet we are doubting God? Verse 6, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The man or woman who doubts is a man or woman who does not believe. Slaves are not to be double-minded. We're to be devoted to obey our master. We are to be undivided. We are to have both feet in. As Jesus declared in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp, when its rays, gives you light. But being single-mindedness, that is the calling for the saint. To come before the Lord with doubt is to come with no foundation, but with shifting sand. The one who doubts is like a wave in the sea. That wave is driven and tossed by the wind. We must consistently have faith in God when we approach him in prayer. Consistent doubting dishonors the Lord. We dishonor the Lord because we don't believe in who he is, and we don't believe in what he has said, and we don't believe in his promises. God wants us to have wisdom and to please him with our lives, and he commands us to ask. And James, he paints a wonderful picture for us. We have a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the men. It's a picture of unstableness. Douglas Moo comments, the picture here is not of a wave mounting in height or crashing to shore, but of the swell of the sea. Never having the same texture and shape from moment to moment, but always changing with variations in wind direction and strength. It's like the man or woman of God who comes before the Lord in prayer, saying, Lord, I need wisdom for this and this situation. This is what I'm asking for. This is what I want. And then we immediately turn around, as James talks about later, and we forget what we were doing, and we live life And all these waves come, the wind is blowing, and we're being shifted back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, going from one side to the other. And ultimately what we're doing is we're praying to the Lord and we're not having faith. It's as if we didn't pray at all. It's as if you got on your knees and you asked the Lord, Lord, I need this, but I know over here. Because a man who is double-minded, it's as if he has two minds. Lord, I believe. Lord, I do not believe. Lord, this is one area when I get on my knees and I pray, but my life, that's something different. When you come before the Lord in prayer, you are to pray with all faith, not having any doubts. Consistent doubting, it dishonors the Lord. See, it is the image of a man he is painting who really doesn't ask because he really doesn't believe. So a man with no confidence in the Lord, always being shifted by various trials. And this is what we must conclude and we must grasp and we must understand. Trials of many kinds are here. Trials of many kinds are in our life. As we mentioned, all the different things, the things that they were experiencing. We may not be in poverty this morning, but there's trials in our job. We may not be scattered to the nations yet because of persecutions, but some of us are being persecuted already because we're Christians. Indeed, this man or woman who doubts has no rest. They have no calmness of the soul. Trials will come. They will blow us around. But our faith must not be blown around. That's the key. You and I are going to enter trials and it's going to crush us. As we sang earlier, we're going to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'll fear no evil. We're saying our faith is not going to waver, even though these trials are going to push us harder and harder and harder into the image of Christ. We must trust the Lord. We must have faith. Verses 7 and 8, the person who comes before the Lord doubting, for that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man. He's unstable. I love this. Not in his prayers. He's unstable in all his ways. Oh, let's get beyond what you're praying for a second. Saying if you have doubt when you pray, guess what? Your whole life is completely unstable. A stable man has faith in God. He is not divided. He is all in. Single-minded. It is also wholehearted. So a man or woman who asks God for wisdom and doubts is a man or woman whose life is unstable. He wants the Christians who are living in trials to not doubt God, but to have faith and to pray, asking God for wisdom. So a man with doubting faith doubts God and his life is not stable. And the consistent doubter, the language used here, the consistent doubter is not a true child. A double-minded man is torn between God and the world. It's as if you're possessing two minds. Literally, it reads double-souled. You are double-souled. The result is unstable, it is restless, not just in prayer, but in all of life. The one who prays without single-mindedness must not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. As last week's verses were the positive view, counting it all joy when trials come, this week's is definitely a negative view. It is because the person is double-minded as he prays, that an unstable man who approaches God should not expect to receive anything from a stable and unchanging God. William Barclay notes, the man with two souls, with one he believes and the other he disbelieves. The man is a walking civil war in which trust and distrust of God wage a continual battle. James does not leave this alone. In James chapter 4, verse 8, he said, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If you've ever read the second greatest book ever sold, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, he called this man Mr. Facing Both Ways. How I like John Bunyan. He just kept it really, really simple. Mr. Facing Both Ways. It's just like, I believe God, I don't believe God, I don't have faith. And he's saying, we don't have faith, we're approaching God. We have not only an emptiness of our mind as we're praying, not believing, but our words are also just as empty. Do I trust the Lord, or do I follow the comfort of the here and now, joining hands with the world? And this is what he's painting the picture. The world that has just caused you to scatter, don't act like them, have faith. The world that is persecuting you for what you believe, believe, have faith. The Apostle James calls these Christians to prayer. We are commanded to ask God for wisdom. It is indeed an imperative. God is ready for you to ask for wisdom. He is ready to give it to you without hesitation. We serve a giving God. When we ask for wisdom, we are to do so in faith with no doubting. So when any trials come into our life, seeking the Lord is definitely the only answer that Christians should respond with. We seek the Lord and we have faith. Our understanding is always limited in our trials. I hope you heard that. The trials that you are in presently, your understanding is limited. But the knowledge of God is not limited. We are to trust Him. We are His servants. He is our master. We are called to humble ourselves. We are called to continue to serve as we walk through our trials looking to Jesus. We're to let steadfastness have its full effect. That's what James says. We are to pray for wisdom with faith and no doubting, because various trials enter our life and they do so unannounced. And we are to have joy when they come, knowing that the Lord has brought them for our sanctification in worshiping Him. We have no idea what the Lord may be doing or may cause us to give Him praise for in the future. Some of the darkest, deepest trials and sufferings that you and I have gone through in our life have formed us more into the image of Christ than we even care to admit. And we care to admit it sometimes because we don't want another one right now. And that's difficult. It's trusting the Lord in those things. In these various trials, we are commanded to pray with faith for wisdom. And he's going to discuss this again soon. In James 3:13, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So the man or woman of God who has wisdom, it will also be on display for the body of Christ to see. James 3:17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." See, wisdom is needed to persevere in godly living. Wisdom is needed to persevere in godly living. Are you asking God for wisdom? Because God has commanded you to ask. It sounds cliche, but most of the time when individuals ask, "How can I pray for you, Pastor?" I usually respond, "Be praying for wisdom." Because that, when I say the word wisdom, there's many things that I think about. Being a child of God, being a husband, being a father, the particular trials that I'm in presently right now, the sin that I'm presently struggling with. Yes, I need wisdom. Are you asking God for wisdom? Our God is gracious and He is giving. We are to have faith in Him and not doubt when we approach Him asking for it. We need faith in God and wisdom from God to live in this difficult world full of trials. And this is where people paint the false picture. We live in a difficult world full of trials. We are to have faith in God. We are to ask God for wisdom. Because if we don't pray, we don't have faith in God, and we don't come before Him, and we don't ask God for wisdom, you need to know what your life is going to be like. It's like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. All these trials are going to come. Your life's going to be blown around. your faith's going to doubt, and eventually what you're going to do is you're going to look like the rest of the world. And time will tell. Time will tell. He is calling Christians to remain steadfast, to persevere in these trials as they are living life together as the body of Christ, moving forward. We are to have faith in God, and we are to ask God for wisdom. So let's do that now. Father, thank you for being so gracious to us. Indeed, you are slow to anger. Thank you for justifying us and sanctifying us. We are undeserved sinners. Lord, forgive us for not praying. Forgive us for trying to fix things in our own strength, which can only be fixed by your supreme power. Forgive us for not asking for wisdom and thinking we are wise enough for the trials that enter our lives apart from your divine help. Lord, take away our pride and give us a stronger faith. Help us to see every trial as sanctification and a time to glorify you and to be joyful. Lord, renew our minds with these four verses, so that we will humbly approach you full of faith, asking for wisdom, not just once a day, but all throughout the day. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Strengthen us. Make us a holy people who remain fixed on your word and your promises. As trials enter the lives of others, Lord, help us to be the body of Christ and to walk with them, to pray for them, and to carry their burdens. And as we suffer, Lord, in our trials, may our mind be fixed upon heaven and not this temporary world. Help us to fix our minds upon your Son, Jesus Christ, and seeing him face to face. Father, thank you for sending your only Son to suffer and to die for sinful man. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who suffered yet was without sin. Thank you for raising your Son and sending the Holy Spirit who has sealed us for the day of redemption. And thank you for continuing to sanctify us and the promise of glorification. Father, indeed, we echo these words with the Apostle James. Help us to count it all joy when we meet trials of various kinds. Help us to know that the testing of our faith is to produce steadfastness. Lord, I pray that we would respond to let steadfastness have its full effect, that it may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing in our lives, so that we would just glorify you with our life. May we be men and women who pray all the time, not just in our trials, but always be praying so that asking you for wisdom. So, Lord, that we may be as your Son was, a perfect example of what it is to love you and to keep your commands. Lord, indeed, we need wisdom. Lord, we have not yet arrived. Lord, give us wisdom. And Lord, for those who are here, who doubt, who do not have faith in Christ for salvation, Lord, give them the faith to believe. Indeed, we are all commanded to repent and believe. Strengthen us, your children. Save the lost. Thank you for this time gathered together to listen to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Next few moments, if you'll just take this time as a reflection, time of silence to meet with the Lord. And in a few minutes, we'll close with a benediction. But it's been good to worship with you this morning.